a mere trench between the high fences. I could dimly see the posts at the entrance and a group of large elms overshadowing them. In the other direction, where the lane doubled sharply upon itself, was absolute inky blackness, save where a faint glimmer from the wet ground showed the corner of the fence and a projecting stump or tree root jutting out from the corner and looking curiously like a human foot with the toes pointed upward. The rain fell steadily with a soft, continuous murmur. The leaves of the elm trees whispered together and answered the falling rain. The Scotch pines above my head stirred in the breeze with a sound like the surge of the distant sea. The voices of nature, hushed and solemn, oblivious of man like the voices of the wilderness, and over all and through all, a profound, enveloping silence. I drew up closer to the fence and shivered slightly, for the night was growing chill. It seemed a little lighter now in the narrow, trench-like lane, not that the sky was less murky, but because the ground was now flooded with water. The posts stood out less vaguely against the background of wet road, and the odd-looking stump by the corner was almost distinct. And again it struck me as looking curiously like a foot, a booted foot with a toe pointing upwards. The chime of a church clock sounded across the heath, a human voice, this, penetrating the desolate silence. Then, after an interval, the solemn boom of Big Ben came up faintly from the sleeping city. Midnight, and time for me to go home. It was of no use to wait for the rain to cease. This was no passing shower, but a steady drizzle that might last till morning. I relit my pipe, turned up my collar, and prepared to plunge into the rain. And as I stepped out, the queer-looking stump caught my eye once more. It was singularly like a foot, and it was odd, too, that I'd never noticed it before in my many rambles through the lane. A sudden, childish curiosity impelled me to see what it really was before I went, and the next moment I was striding sharply up the sudden path. Of course, I expected the illusion to vanish as I approached, but it did not. The resemblance increased as I drew nearer, and I hurried forward with something more than curiosity. It was a foot. I realized it with a shock while I was some paces away, and as I reached the corner, I came upon the body of a man lying in the sharp turn of the path, and a limp, sprawling posture, with one leg doubled under, told its tale at a glance. I laid my finger on his wrist. It was clammy and cold, and not a vestige of a pulse could I detect. I struck a wax match and held it to his face. The eyes were wide open and filmy, staring straight up into the reeking sky. The dilated pupils were insensitive to the glare of the match, the eyeballs insensitive to the touch of my finger. Beyond all doubt, the man was dead. But how had he died? Had he simply fallen dead from some natural cause, or had he been murdered? There was no obvious injury, and no sign of blood. All that the momentary glimmer of the match showed was that his clothes were shiny with the wet, a condition that might easily, in the weak light, mask a considerable amount of bleeding. When the match went out, I stood for some moments looking down on the prostrate figure as it lay with the rain beating down on the upturned face, professional interest contending with natural awe of the tragic presence. The former prompted me to ascertain without delay the cause of death, and indeed I was about to make a more thorough search for some injury or wound, when something whispered to me that it is not well to be alone at midnight in a solitary place with a dead man, perchance a murdered man. Had there been any sign of life, my duty would have been clear. As it was, I must act for the best with a due regard to my own safety, and, reaching this conclusion, I turned away, with a last glance at the motionless figure, and set forth homeward at a rapid pace. As I turned out of Millfield Lane into Highgate Rise, I perceived a policeman on the opposite side of the road standing under a tree, where the light from a lamp fell on a shining tarpaulin cape. I crossed the road, and, as he civilly touched his helmet, I said, "I'm afraid there is something wrong up the lane, Constable. I've just seen the body of a man lying in the pathway." The constable woke up very completely.
"Do you mean a dead man, sir?" he asked.
"Yes, he's undone."